I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do. Hallelujah. I know parts of this morning. There's two verses that I'd like for you to see in your Bible or on your phone or your iPad or whatever it is you have with you. One of them is 1 Corinthians 3:16. Now, by the way, to give you a head start, you need to find 2 Chronicles about chapter 5, I think, is where we're going to go in a little bit, if you need a little head start to get there. But 1 Corinthians 3:16, and the other one that we want to start with is Matthew 21. Matthew 21. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Now, if you're born again, just raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, we'll give an altar call right now. You can just say with me, according to Scripture, I am the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in me. Right in here, inside this vessel, is the Spirit of God. Okay? I got that part? All right. Now go over to Matthew 21. Real familiar passage. We'll pick it up in verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God. Put your hand on your heart. I am the temple of God. Jesus went into the temple of God. Okay. And he did something when he went in there. He cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, "It is written." Don't you love it that he's calling you his house? My house shall be called the house of prayer. My house shall be called the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves." But notice, only after he did that, only after he drove them out. And I don't think that was a gentle, mamby-pamby, would you please leave? He made a scourge. I think there might have been some volume to his voice. Get out. Get out of my Father's house. Take this and get out. If you'd like a word for that, it's called mortification. You might call it sanctification. When Christ comes in, he comes in to be Lord. And he fully intends to sit on the throne of each and every one of our hearts. He is the one in the Holy of Holies. We're going to look at the type and shadow here in a minute from the Old Testament. But now, what's the number one thing he says about his house? My house shall be called the house of prayer. Aren't you glad you go to a church that's called the prayer center? Pastor Dave Roberson took so much heat, so much flack, so much trouble from so many people over so many years that finally, for the last few years that he was really using his office, he had a little sign made hanging on the wall in there. It goes, "What's wrong with prayer?" Y'all remember that? I mean, just stir up every devil around if you commit to where your house, do it again, put your hand on your heart. I'm the house of God. Jesus says this is his house. This house in me is a house of prayer. Now let's get that straight. You're at the right church. Number one, it's a house of prayer. And we're going to get into why. Now there's all kinds of activity also. Feeding the poor, evangelizing the lost, casting out devils, ministering to real, you know, widows and orphans. And there's so many things to do. But he didn't say, my house shall be called a house of that. See, all of that is a result of prayer. Prayer is where you find your part. Prayer is where you find your anointing. Prayer is where you learn from the Holy Ghost your place in the body. But it all begins with prayer. And I don't think my house shall be called a house of prayer for the first year or the first 5 years. I think it's we're to remain a house of prayer. Boy, I'm sorry, I'm feeling his pleasure. I don't know what you're feeling. He's liking this. Now we're going to come back to this in a minute, because notice only after that, after he drove them out. I love verse 14. After he drove, could I say after he cleansed the temple? How about I say it this way? After he purged it of everything that's not related to prayer. Would that be okay? Let's say it another way. After prayer became the number one thing. Because my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. Then, it says in verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to, boy, if you underline, him in the temple. Him in the temple. Say, he is in my temple. He is in this house. He says, my body is his temple. My body is his house. And this house is and will remain a house of prayer. See, when people, they're not really coming to you. They are. But it's not, how did Paul say it? It's I, but not I, but Christ in me. It's him in the temple. It's him. It's Christ in us. But so many of us want that. We want to say Christ in us without letting him cleanse the temple. And prayer is a big part of allowing him to cleanse the temple. We'll get that. But notice, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. I'm telling you, I prophesy, there is not one case too hard for him in the temple. There is not a blind case, not a muscular dystrophy case, not a missing leg case that is too hard for him in the temple. And you're the temple. Individually and collectively, you are the temple. All right? Let's look at this same event in Luke's account of it. Go over to Luke 19. Starting in verse 45. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, here it is again, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now notice what it says here. And he taught daily, where? In the temple. He taught daily in the temple. You think there might be a connection between that and prayer? Boy, that was weak for the prayer center. Do you think there might be a connection between him teaching daily in the temple and the temple being a house of prayer? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. He comes to teach you. Now, I remember those first 2 weeks. Well, I wasn't even baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. Neither one of us was yet. But boy, when he came in the temple, he began to teach me from the inside out. I like to say there was a new sheriff in town. And I mean, he was teaching. And it wasn't so gentle either. I think he made a scourge just for Gary. Man, alcohol had to go. Pornography had to go. Dirty jokes had to go. Living my life for money had to go. I mean, it started and it's still continuing to this day. But there was major purging just in the first 2 weeks. Then I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And more purging even to this very day. That doesn't mean we have to wait until we're perfect before we start doing anything. But we don't ever want to get so busy doing things that our house is no longer a house of prayer. Don't lose what he says you are. My house is a house of prayer. Now he teaches And we may look at another scripture when we gather together like this. It's good to have prayer meetings. I think we should have more prayer meetings. But the primary purpose of gathering together like this is teaching. You've got scripture for that. Paul said, you can look it up yourself. It's in 1 Corinthians 14. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Right after that he says, but in the church, like when we assemble, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also. So there's a purpose for assembling together to be taught. Okay? And it's fine to have prayer meetings. But when he says, my house shall be a house of prayer, he's not so much talking about an assembly like this. He's talking about you individually. And it's good to get together collectively and pray. Now let's look at some type and shadows from the Old Testament. Go back. Now this is where we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. We'll start in chapter 5. And what's been going on? Solomon's been building the temple, and it goes on and on, telling about in great detail. But there came a time when they finished the building. The Holy of Holies is there. You know, remember the Holy of Holies where that 4-inch thick curtain separated it from the rest of the temple. And only the high priest could go in there once a year. Well, when they finished building it, they had to first bring it in there. This is the first time they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the newly constructed temple. And they're going to put it back behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies. So let's just, it's a little bit of scripture to read, but it doesn't hurt us to read some scripture, okay? So 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Starting in verse 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord, a type and shadow, house of the Lord, my house, shall be called a house of prayer. You got this? See the connection? Type and shadow? Okay. All the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in all of the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments, put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up. What's the purpose? He gathered them all together to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the 7th month, and all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. Boy. And they brought up the ark, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, these did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place. That's the Holy of Holies. Even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark. And the cherubims covered the ark, and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves of the ark, that the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the 2 tables which Moses put therein at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Now stop just for a moment. So what's gone on so far? The temple has been built. They have sent to the city of David. They're doing it correctly. They sent the Levites, the priests. They bring in the ark in the correct way. They have brought it in. They've placed it in the Holy of Holies. Now we'll pick it up in verse 11. Listen. That is a type of the new birth. When you get born again, the ark of the covenant represents Jesus. When you get born again, he became your ark. Can I say it that way? The ark went into you. You got born again. He is the ark, okay? But now notice, it's not done yet. The ark is there, but now notice. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all of the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph of Heman and Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren being arrayed in white linen. Boy, there's so much type here. Having cymbals and psalteries and harps stood at the east end of the altar. And with them, this is not coincidence, and with them 120 priests. How many people were in the upper room? 120. This is the baptism. This is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost right here. 120 priests sounding with trumpets, and they all began to speak in unknown tongues and prophesy. They began to sound like, people thought they were drunk in that upper room when they started sounding like trumpets, speaking with other tongues. Well, this is a type and shadow. 120. That's not coincidence. Foreshadowing that day. And notice, it came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud. Now, note, if you underline, even the house of the Lord. What is it? The house of the Lord. My house shall be called the house of prayer. And I mean the type and shadow, praying in the Holy Ghost. He couldn't have been more specific. 120 trumpeters. He's trying to give us a foreshadow of what's coming. Praying in tongues is a major part of being his house. Amen. And notice what happens. The glory. Oh, okay. It's so good. I got to preach everywhere. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that the what? The house was filled with a cloud. Even the what? The house of the Lord. His presence filled the house so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. My house shall be called a house of prayer. As we lift our voice to him, we're just, to us, it's like hour on hour. And the devil's always telling you this is not accomplishing anything. But in heaven, it's like music and like cymbals and like the psaltery of harps. And in those tongues, it's expressions like, "He is good, his mercy endures forever." And the Lord is in the temple teaching you whatever it is that you need to still drive out, whatever needs to go out. And the more that goes on, the more the glory of the Lord fills the house. I'm glad for the days when we pray and people fall. I'm looking for the days when we pray and the ministers fall. When everybody's on the floor flopping like chickens. Can't hardly even get up because of the presence of the Lord. We're going to have real revival. I'm tired of church. I want revival. The presence and the power of the living God to shake this nation. It's the only hope we have. Politics will not save us. I thank God for godly leaders and right decisions in agreement with righteousness. But that's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. And if he doesn't have a people that is a house of prayer, I wonder if it's going to happen. My house shall be called the house of prayer. I'm not looking at anybody. Does that describe your life? If people say, "Oh yeah, I know that one thing about her." Boy, that's a praying lady right there. That should be when they think of you, "Woo, that's a house of prayer right there." That doesn't mean you do it to be seen of men at all. Listen, if you become a house of prayer, you won't be able to hide who you've been with. You won't be able to hide, because he's going to teach you. He's going to anoint you. He's going to take up his place. He's going to drive out everything that's not of God out of the inside of you. You won't be able to hide. It says they knew that they had been with Jesus. If you become a house of prayer, they're going to know you have been with Jesus. But our master says, "My house shall be called the house of prayer." And the church at large, and sadly even at the prayer center, is, I don't know if that's so anymore.
I hesitate to even say this, but I got to make sure it's okay. If that's true here, where it's no longer about house of prayer, and we had the best teaching I believe ever given, and if it's prayer has been so that you wouldn't even describe here as a house of prayer anymore, makes me fear for the church at large. How have we slid back from what Jesus said? My house shall be called a house of prayer. I'm repenting myself right now. I don't care what you get in. And it's not that we're not allowed to do things. I mean, you got to raise kids, you got a job, you got stuff. I understand that, but we're not going to have revival without us being a house of prayer. Dave would say, "What's wrong with prayer?" And he just lovingly, again and again, teach us those fundamentals. Go back and teach us again. We'd have conference after conference, and we think, "Oh, now this conference, we're going to get something new. It's going to be great. It's going to be a heavy revy." You know what I mean? You know. And we come to the first service that Dave's teaching. He says, "Now open to Romans 8," and he'd start teaching us again the fundamentals of prayer. And I thank God for it. But we cannot let that slip. Well, we need to repent from having let it slip and become that people of prayer again. Because that's what, look at it again in your Bible now. Luke, you should still be in, well, no, I took you away. Let me just read them to you. Luke 19, starting in verse 45. "He went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple." God, I love that. The two things. Here it says he taught daily in the temple. When you're praying in other tongues, you're allowing that Spirit of Christ on the inside of you to just, if there's anything in you, you know, the psalmist David said, "Lord, examine me. If you find any wicked way in me," you know. Well, the Holy Spirit, he's doing that. And anyway, I've got to be careful today. I've got to stay real close with what he's saying. So if you're in 2 Chronicles still, come on over one chapter, because the Lord made some real strong promises in chapter 7. He made some real strong promises after this dedication. Now, in this passage, we're going to come to some real familiar verses that I know you've heard many times. That's a danger. You don't want to ever let verses become so familiar they become common to you. And like they don't apply anymore. They all apply. Every single one of them. But look at verse 12, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 12. "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." Now let me just stop for a moment. This nation as a whole is in a drought. A spiritual drought. It has almost become Sodom and Gomorrah. And sadly, our own government is passing laws that more and more they're turning away from what God has said. Okay? And I was so discouraged about that till the other day I was in prayer. And the Lord said to me, "Don't despair. Christianity was birthed when the whole world was pagan." Yes, your nation right now is becoming more aligned with paganism, or however you want to, that's why I have called you, and it didn't mean just me, you, I have called you who will hearken to prayer, because God's intent is to save this land and to send a revival. Yes. Now that's why you're here. God put a hook in your jaw. Some of us many years ago, because he hooked you. I know exactly what the bait was. The bait was truth. And he hooked you and he says, "This is truth." And he's trying to draw us into a last day army of what the Bible calls Joel's army that will surrender completely to him in the temple so that God can send this revival to bring in that mighty harvest before the end. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent and be born again. Amen? Well, you got hooked with truth, and the devil has sent everything through this church trying to destroy it. Everything in the world, from the attacking our pastor to attacking people to attacking with false doctrine to attacking with everything, slopety floored buildings with... Anyway, I'm not sure that's the devil, but anyway, I think that's poor construction, but anyway... And you're still here. Why? What's wrong with you? Can't you be moved by what you see? You know, that's the cry of hell right now. They're going, I don't understand these people. They're not moving by what they're not being led by what they see. They're not being moved by the despair that I keep bringing with 100 devils, or maybe 1,000 devils, trying to discourage and make them lose hope and try just to every service. And they come back. Why? Hope is still alive in you. There's a truth in you that you're still after what God sent you here for in the first place. And that is a God-given revival that has a chance to save this nation. Now, there's others. We're not the elite. We're not the only ones. We've never said that. I know he's got pockets of people everywhere that's seeking God for revival. Thank God for it. But I want to do my part. I want to remain a house of prayer. I want to be that place where he teaches me every single day. And I want him to take his place in the temple where the lame and the blind and the halt can come and he heals them. Amen. Amen. So the reason for 2 Chronicles here, boy, he makes some promises here. See, because when he says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence, what he's talking about is when they backslide. When they backslide. He had to deal with them because they weren't born again. They weren't spiritual people. He always dealt with them in the natural. So for them, it was a famine of natural things. But for us, for the church today, it's a famine of spiritual things. No presence, no anointing, no miracles, no joy. It's like a famine. Well, what's the cure? Oh, look at verse 14. He gave us the cure. If my people, not the world, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and what?
Pray.
And what?
Pray.
Pray, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek my face. Seek my face. That's worship. That's sincerity. That's not just going through the motions. I want you. I want you. And how about turn from their wicked ways? Turn from their wicked ways. If there was ever a generation surrounded by wickedness, I believe it's us. Every channel, everything on, you know, you just being, you know, a commercial come on TV. You could be watching anything. A commercial come on. And there's more shown there than they used to show in Playboy. Don't ask me how I know. Well, you know how I know that. Before I got saved, you know how I know that. Yeah, and you're going, oh! It's getting where you can't hardly watch anything anymore. But see, it's no good to talk about how bad they are. That's not who he's talking about. See? Can't blame it on the pagan culture that our nation has been going down. Can't blame it on them. He doesn't say if you can get them to repent, does he? He said, let's look at it again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. You know, it says he gives more grace to the humble. shall humble themselves. And notice he mentions prayer before he mentions even repentance. Turn from your wicked ways is repentance, isn't it? The first thing he says, he puts it again, highest priority, humble yourself. And what? Oh, and pray. Seek my face. Now that means, that phrase to me, it's one thing to hear Sue's voice on a phone. And I love her voice. When I used to travel and drive the trucks, man, there was nothing like a phone call home. Of course, I had to wait till I got to the next truck stop and put the quarters in the machine. You young people don't know what I'm talking about. But there was nothing like hearing Sue's voice. But I got to tell you, Sue's voice was a poor substitute for Sue. Couldn't wait till I saw her again. That's what he's talking about. You shall love the Lord thy God. Love the Lord thy God. Love the Lord thy God. If you love him, you want to be with him. You want to be in his presence. You'll seek him in sincerity and truth. And then turn from their wicked ways. Now that's real repentance. Just keep doing it and say you're sorry is not repentance. It's better than nothing. You know what that tells me? There's still a spark alive. There's a spark. There's hope. Thank God you're not yet over to a reprobate mind. That could come. Dave taught us about a reprobate mind. It's not that God wouldn't take them back. But if they ever arrive at that place, there's just nothing in them that ever wants to come back. But anyway, turn, actually repent. Turn from their wicked ways. Now notice, if you underline, then. If the first part doesn't happen, the second part doesn't happen. Cause and effect. If the first part, I'm going to say it again. Well, what's the first part? Humble yourself. Pray. Really seek his face. Repentance. Turn from your wicked ways. He says, if my people, quit worrying so much about the world right now. If my people will do those things, then will I hear from heaven. And you could put an I, and I will forgive their sin. But notice, you could put an I, and I will heal their land. What? I will heal their land. I will heal their land. I don't know if you're getting it. God will get involved with our country. God will heal our land. If my people will do these things, the promise is, can I say it this way? I will come. I will do it. We don't have the power to do it. Politicians can help, but they don't really have the power to do it. I know who has the power to do it. I will heal their land. Now look at verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears, in King James it says attent, it means attentive, unto the prayer, now look how it's worded, that is made in this place. Put your hand on your heart. I am the temple of God. I am the house of God. He is attentive. His eyes are open. And he hears every prayer that is made in this place. Well, that's true if. If in that place we have humbled ourselves. If we have dedicated ourselves to pray. My house shall be called a house of prayer. If we are truly seeking his face, and if we turn from our wicked ways, then, he says, I'm listening. I'm listening. You want to petition me? Now petition me. I'm seeing and I'm hearing because I have found my house. My house is a house of prayer. God. Oh, my feet. Now listen, when Jesus was cleansing the temple, he was doing a teaching there by visual demonstration of how he will sanctify believers at the new birth.
Everything he finds within us that is of the world through lust, he drives it out. Notice, he drives it out. But he doesn't do it without your permission. You have to obey him. I'll be mean to me as usual, nice to you. When he told me that, now, he doesn't tell everybody that their rock and roll music has to go. I know you look at me now and you go, rock and roll? Hey, I used to be lead guitar in a rock and roll band. You know, I did not always look like this. Anyway. I did not always look like this. But at that time in our lives, for music was just an idol. It just really, really was. And it had to go. Now, he told me to get it all out of the house. And I've told you this story before. I partially obeyed. Everything left except one album. I look back on it now and it's so silly, like God wouldn't see me hiding it. But I loved my Bad Company album. I loved it, you know, the black one with the white letters, you know which one. And I hid that thing. I forgot that I even kept it. I don't ever remember playing it again. Later on, not too long later, we moved and I found it again. Man, I was so embarrassed. I said, oh God, I'm so sorry. That's going today, see. But now later on he let me have it, but it was like 20 years later. But music no longer was an idol to us at all. You understand what I'm saying? But at the time it had to go because it was in competition with him. He drives every idol out. There'll be no idols. Okay? But I had to agree. When he said the pornography had to go, there was a little argument. My soul, sorry. I mean, you know, just is what it is. I've been buying those for years and buying the plastic covers. I had those in pristine condition. I know you look at me now, you think. But I did. But when he said it had to go, it left. Gone. Boom. You have to cooperate with him. But boy, that when that ark comes in the temple. Ooh, now, he's coming to be Lord. He's coming to be Lord. And that's really Christ in you. The new nature is fine to call it the new nature, but it's really more than that. It's Christ in you, and he's coming to cleanse the temple. Then you add the Holy Ghost in there. Thank God for Pastor Dave teaching us about how the Holy Spirit also helps with our infirmities. Because there's times you think you're just fine till you pray a while. And the Holy Spirit brings up something that isn't fine. And that only happens the first 30 days, right, Gary? Going on with my message. No. No. He drives everything out that's not of him. He takes his rightful place on the throne as king. From that place, he teaches us from within. See, what we call the new nature, it is. We do have the new nature. But really, it's Christ in us. Now, again, I've just been listening again this week to Pastor Dave on the Born Again Trail. If you haven't done that in a while, I recommend you do it. It's so refreshing. The love and the joy and the peace that comes in the truth is just amazing. But I was just listening again to him. It is so amazing to me. You know, sometimes people accuse the prayer center, you guys just hole up and pray for one another. You know, like we're just a little bless me club or a little, anyway, something like that. Playing church. Listen, more than once on the Born Again Trail. I just picked one at random. I just got one, put it in my car and listening to it. And Dave says, now this is almost a word for word quote, not quite, but Dave says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now let's see now. Who are the signs following? That would be the believers. So who is getting sick? I mean, who is getting healed? Oh, well, that would be the unbelievers. He says, we're supposed to take this truth and work our neighborhoods. He said, you might be amazed what would happen if, you know, you want to win your neighbors to Jesus. What if you went, this is Dave on the tape. What if you went door to door and said, you got any sick in here? I've been sent in the name of the Lord to raise them up. You get them healed, they might listen to your gospel about getting saved. Now that's Pastor Dave. And it's not his fault if nobody obeyed him. or not obey, but nobody did that.
That's Pastor Dave. He wasn't telling us. He says, it's fine. There is scripture. Pray one for another. That you, you know, confess your faults one for another, one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. Well, that's fine. But that's not really what the gospel about is about. The signs are supposed to be following us. Well, they can't follow us if we don't ever go nowhere. I mean, one plus one still makes two, I think, you know. While we're on this subject, go to Ephesians 4. For years, I didn't understand this one, this verse. Hallelujah. Say it with me again. Put your hand on your heart. I am the temple of God. I am the house of God. This house is a house of prayer. Jesus sits on the throne here. He drives everything out of the temple that's not of Him. Jesus is on the throne here. And people can come to Him in the temple and be healed of their diseases. Amen. Amen. Say it again, though. This house is a house of prayer. Okay. So Ephesians 4, look at verse 20. He says, oh man, well, but you have not so learned Christ. He's telling them, don't be like the world, who through lust, they allow all manners of lasciviousness. He says, don't be like that, but you have not so learned Christ. Now, everyone he's writing to here at Ephesus, none of them that we have any record of spent any time with Jesus in his physical body while he was on planet Earth. So what does it mean if you've been taught by him? Jesus has been in heaven before, you know, his physical body has been in heaven before they ever got born again. But he tells you, verse 21, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, now notice, as the truth is in Jesus. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. You get taught by Jesus by manner of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in his glorified body is not on planet Earth. But when you got born again, you received a nature that has a capacity to be taught. And he sent the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. Now, I thank God for the epistles that we have. I thank God. See, the apostles, they went on doing this very thing, praying in the Holy Ghost. They got revelation. I mean, this very book of Ephesians is an absolute masterpiece. We are seated at the right hand of God. Where did Paul get that? I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He got it by revelation. It's written for us to believe. But if you think you're just going to read this and understand it with the natural mind, if you just open the yellow pages, open the yellow pages of a phone book. Nobody has phone books anymore. If you look on your phone under churches, you're going to see 70-11 different denominations. Each one of them, because they tried to figure out the Word of God with the natural mind. No, he gave us a book, all right. I thank God for the book. But he gave us a teacher. He gave us a teacher. Men have proven for hundreds of years that intellect alone, the natural intellect, is not enough to understand the Word of God. You need a teacher. And besides, these things are spiritually discerned. Anyway. New converts at the time, of course they were taught the apostles' doctrine, and we've taught on that before. You know, we could go to the book of Acts where they broke bread and went from house to house and they were taught daily the apostles' doctrine. What was the apostles' doctrine? I feel like we need to look at it again. Go right to the end of Matthew 28 and tell you exactly. It's no mystery what they taught. Matthew 28, starting in verse 19. Go you therefore and teach all nations, not just the Jews now, but all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, notice, teaching them to observe, and that just plainly means do. Teaching them to do all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So these new converts, they'd learn about Jesus. They'd preach Christ and Him crucified. Glory to God, they'd get saved. But then you need to be taught. So they would come to the apostles' house, you know, different houses. I don't know how they set it all up. And it says they learned the apostles' doctrine. Okay. Back, you're in Matthew. Back up to Matthew chapter 3 or 5. Hang on. 5. I'm set down. I'm a brand new convert. I got saved yesterday. I don't know nothing. I've come to the apostles' house. Please teach me. Teach me. I've come to learn today. Okay, our lesson for today is blessed are, okay, Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that shall mourn. In other words, they just started teaching exactly what Jesus had taught them. They may not have started at that one, but what I'm saying is they were teaching exactly everything that Christ taught them. It's not a mystery. But then Paul, he just see it for yourself. 1 Corinthians 14. And I thank God for the revelation. We've got such a jump start. We should, in my opinion, we should be far beyond the book of Acts. Because we've got revelation that they just flat didn't have. It's already written for us. Now you need the Holy Ghost to help understand that. But it gives you a big jump start. I don't know how you would have known that we are, as far as God's concerned, seated at the right hand of God in Christ without the Holy Ghost revealing that to the Apostle Paul. Well, he doesn't have to reveal it again that same way to Gary. I can read that. And I say, Holy Ghost, how does this apply to my life? How do I live that? How does that change me? I'm not interested in stuff just for stuff's sake. How does this change my life? And how does this glorify you? How does this change me so that my life is about glorifying the Father and the Son? Isn't that what it's about? Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 14. Oh my goodness. Okay, we'll just pick it up in 18. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. And this is a man that wrote, what, about a third of the New Testament, maybe more? Where in the world do you think he got that revelation knowledge? Jesus had already ascended to heaven in his physical body. Now, I'm sure he probably had visions of him, but still, even those are by the Holy Ghost. I thank my God. If you just back up to verse 2 of that same chapter, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. I'll never forget the first time I heard Pastor Dave break that verse. And he says, now we know two things. Now there's four different, we don't have time to get into all of this today. There's four different kinds of tongues, four diversities of tongues. This is the kind for personal edification, just you and the Holy Ghost. He says you can know two things. Number one, while you're praying in the Spirit, you're talking to God. We got that right. You're not talking to me. You're talking to God. Okay? The second thing we know is, while you're doing that, mysteries are being explained. And Dave would say, now how many of you think that while you're praying in tongues, you are explaining mysteries to God? isn't that pure? No, he knew everything before you was ever a gleam in your daddy's eye. No, God is explaining mysteries to you. I'm telling you right now, this house, I'm committing again. I never have lost it completely, but compared to the former days, I repent. I have let my prayer life slack way too much. I'm telling you, starting again today, this house is a house of prayer. I'm saying for me, I hope in you, you're making a similar commitment. This house is a house of prayer. I'm going to challenge Paul. What I mean is, I think my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. There's only 24 hours in a day. No, I'm sorry. We've all got the same number of hours. What I'm saying is I can turn it way up. By the way, at my age now, I've already outlived Paul, so I got bonus time. So he died in his late 60s. Hallelujah. New converts were taught the apostles' doctrine daily from house to house. The apostles were teaching them to do everything that Christ had taught them. But these new converts were also being taught by Christ in them through the new nature. We often call it the voice of the conscience that resides within the born-again person. It's that voice of the new man. Now, the promise made in 1 Chronicles were to the nation as a whole. Can you see that? When God was talking to Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, and it was like a national place of prayer. This was the temple, okay? And he was saying, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear and I will heal their land. Now, here's a heavy revy. Nations are made up out of people. Ooh, everyone go, ooh, aren't you glad you came today? It begins with you. It begins with me. Isn't that true? And now there's not like one temple somewhere where, you know, that we all, where we all go. No, you are the temple of God. When we gather together like this, Paul says, hey, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, but he's not talking about in church. I think it's the very next verse. Yeah, verse 19. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, it's not wrong to have prayer meetings. We should gather together and pray as a group. But this kind of prayer where I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, obviously is not in church. He's talking about his private prayer life so that when he comes to church, he's got something to say. He's got something to teach. Y'all getting anything out of this? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's take this national prescription given back there in 2 Chronicles for returning to God and make it personal for each one of us individually. He says, if you'll do these things, his eyes and his ears shall be attentive to this place of prayer. I like the way that's worded. Touch your heart again. This place. Say, his eyes and his ears are attentive to this place of prayer. And he's talking about in you. Man. He says, I have chosen and I have sanctified this house of prayer within you. Oh, and I didn't read that part. So that my name will be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there with you perpetually. We got to go back there and see that. Go back to 2 Chronicles. God is perfect, but his servants don't always do everything that we should. I should have already made note of that. Yes. See, I ended a while ago reading in 2 Chronicles 7:15, but we need to go on to 16. For he says, now mine ear shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Boy, you should underline that. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there, notice, forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. If you look up the word perpetually, which I did, it means in a way that never ends or changes. Glory to God. Listen, I know God is everywhere. God is in, you know, the psalmist said, if I even went into hell, your presence is there. I can't. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. We know that. But we're talking about the kind of presence that shows up where even the priest can't stand in the temple. We're talking about the kind of presence that shows up where the halt and the lame and the blind, it's not even any problem. He just heals them, see? And he's given us how to do it, but it's got to be a house of prayer. It's got to be a house of prayer. And then I'll just read this one to you, Luke 17:21. He says, if they say the kingdom of God is over there, the kingdom of God is over there, He said, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Why? Because the king is in you. The king is in you. Now, I'll just tell you, people are drawn. Do you ever notice when you read the Gospels, the sinners were not the ones that ran from Jesus for the most part? They flocked to him. The people ran to him. That's what made the Pharisees and the Sadducees so mad. All the people were flocking to Jesus. See, but people are still drawn to him in the temple. You getting me? You're the temple. We must allow him to fully cleanse the temple. And thank God for the Holy Spirit who helps us with that. One more. I'm trying to finish. Go to Luke 19. One more. Such a good example. Now, Jesus would teach, repent and believe the gospel. And I'm a firm believer in repentance. I'll just tell you the truth. Most of my repenting came after Jesus came in the temple. It really did. The guy who led me to the Lord didn't preach real heavy on repenting. He preached heavy on let Jesus come in your house. Receive the Lord. And Zacchaeus is such a perfect example of that. So let's pick it up here in Luke 19. It says, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. Now, just stop for a moment. We're not told a whole lot about Zacchaeus. Far as I can tell, we're not told if he was a drunkard or anything else. But we are told he was a publican, which was despised at the time because they worked for the Romans, taxing the Jews. And we're told that he was rich, which is an indication he might have had his thumb on the scales. No, he might have been not quite doing it as honest as he should have. Okay? All right. When we see repentance in a little while is another indication of that. But now notice, he sought to see Jesus who he was. He didn't know who Jesus was. Apparently, he'd never heard him preach. He didn't even know what he looked like. So he's not repenting first, is he? He just says, I want to know who Jesus is. Well, that's a good prayer. I think anybody that cries that, prays that, is going to find out. But he wanted to see Jesus, and I love how it's worded, who he was. He doesn't know anything hardly about him. Must have heard a little bit. But he wants to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press because he was little of stature. I love this guy. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, boy, he knew his name. Zacchaeus didn't know who Jesus was. Jesus sure knew who Zacchaeus was. Called him by name. Said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, now, oh boy, I must abide at thy house. What a type and shadow of Jesus coming in. And this guy hasn't repented. Yeah, I just want to know who you are, Jesus. Well, I'm going to come in there and show you. Is that okay with you? So he made haste and he came down and received him. That means Jesus went in the house. And when they saw it, now that's religious folks, they all murmured saying, he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a what? I told you, Zacchaeus had a rep. He was well known, okay? They didn't care for publicans, okay? But now notice, so there's something going on inside the house. We're not told. Oh, I would love to know what Jesus talked to him about in there. But get the image. The image is what's important. I don't know who Jesus is. I want to know who you are, Jesus. Well, I need to come in your house. Jesus goes in the house, closed doors. We don't get to hear it. Aren't you glad nobody gets to hear what he talks to you about? But there's a conversation going on in there, okay? Okay, the Lord has come in the house. After a little while, Zacchaeus stood up, and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And it's a rich man. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, and that's exactly what the publicans were known for, I restore him fourfold. Does that sound like repentance to you? See, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new Lord in the house. I don't know who you are, Jesus. Let me come into your house. Comes into the house. They have a discussion. I repent. That's what happened with us. He came in repentance, 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 repentance for weeks still. And even when you think you start thinking you got a little bit and you pray some more and oh God. And look what Jesus says, verse 9. And we know it's not the new birth yet, but it's a type and shadow. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, boy, aren't you glad for verse 10? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, I'm so glad he come to seek after me. I'm so glad he came all those years ago. I want to close with this again. Put your hand on your heart one more time. I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God lives in me. This house is called a house of prayer. Jesus is Lord of this house. He teaches me daily as I pray and as I meditate His Word. And He's still cleansing the temple of anything that needs to go. But I am determined that the Lord take His rightful place as King of this temple so that the halt and the blind can come to Him and be healed. I declare I am a house of prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Prayer Center, we're accountable like few others. We have had the best teaching on earth about what really happens when we pray. Especially, I'm talking now. All prayer is great, but I'm specifically talking that 120 trumpeters is not by accident. Prayer in the Spirit. Let's let Him have His way with us. Let us be known as the house of prayer, not just a sign out on the street. Let us individually be known as a house of prayer. And just bow your heads. For I long to do things that's not been seen in this generation. I long to demonstrate my Father to a lost and dying world. But I need a people who will yield to me and surrender their lives and allow me to consume them with that very spirit of prayer. Oh, allow me to purge the floor. Allow me to purge the temple of everything that must go. Then allow me to so fill you with the very presence of the Father that you and those around you will hardly be able to stand. Yield to me, says the Lord, and be known once more as the house of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, with all that we know how, we're doing that right now. And if you're watching this and you're a part of this, I don't care when you hear this. He is calling us to become that house of prayer again, right where you are, anywhere in the world. You can be the house of prayer. You can be the house of prayer. Make up your mind. Allow Him to take His rightful place. Allow that the Spirit of God to fill you. And allow Him to make intercession for you according to the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, katiandoste, breto shindelebe, brato rico, karandoste. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Now I'm just going to obey the Lord. I heard 3 minutes of prayer.
This is a believer's meeting. I hope we don't offend anybody here. I'm looking around the room. I don't think there's anybody that would misunderstand. I am literally going to set my timer because I heard 3 minutes. Let us give him 3 minutes of uninterrupted prayer. Shandala bakusan de lebretorite, kariando stand de lebretorandrusti kiatara labra. From de la maquande torobristoro bratoli quae carandero meca. Histe labra cum cutire atoroba. Sfondelo macite, yanduro maculi andero ristai, bratoriqua landoro fretoleca, horo massonde le bretoriqua, corondoro bratomare, chiti attori andoro locure, shondela macarandere bretoriqua, cara macubataro sindere fronda la macuri andetare breteristo, shondela macuande le breti, altoro buri atarada, baramatari, isti di chi attori atu, frandolo miki, caracorondolo, mate de scindele breto lore, ato, cura masti, sindaro bauri, itela autolachide, yandolo bra, sondoro miki, banderò, fratoriste, mori ato, candela liquai, cade yandoro lo brato mari, yandoro robote, shandolo bacuari, andoro labrato mataro, sindere bretiato, frori andare labrato miquai, cai andare labrato robratoriste, chi andare, frondoro macari andare labrato riste, chi andare labrato maro, sondolo bacuri andera liquai, coro matabe andoro meco, shandolo bacuri andare labrato, sindele bretoriquai, froro matindere brato dequai, carandero brato mare, shondele abiquai, coi andotoro brato bore, andera bosticai, frata menti, belatoro, masero, chitere brato male laco, sondora brato mare, itere brato vuturuto, rotiriste, re brato la, brato maca batteriste, frondele macundera brato mare, iatoro brato mede, hori andotoro brato mare, indere breto lique. Candali andoro macandalo bratorori andatero breste. Sce andera di cae chi andoro labrato mari andori andalo brato mari andori. Fra andola mi cae chi andala labrato mari andoto labrato risto. Sce andoro dei breto carande de bratorate di cae cae andare iatalo brato mori. Harodisto curiondolo macari andatera fratorequai carindere breto mari. Sondolo macari andatera brato mari andete di chi. Shondero macuri andotoro brato miquai che andare labrato mari. Hai andeste de breto ricai chi andoro robonde de freto maru. Sara la terra ita idelloco istere bacubale. Frandore matara riquai. Mandola batari andotera bratoriste cari andotere bretoriche. Bratori andotela bratoriste cari andotelo bratomato. Frandele andetere abitelo bratomari andere dicai. Frori andotero bratoriquai chi andare matari andare. Halalacuria. All right, that's 3 minutes right there. And I hear someone, I can hear it, someone going, well, if there's a tongue, there's got to be an interpretation. All right, that was not a tongue for interpretation. That was, here's the interpretation, so you'll understand what's going on. I heard it clear, prime the pump. For some, that even that 3 minutes, it's been a long time since you even gave 3 minutes of uninterrupted prayer. That's not windshield time, you know what I mean by that? Not windshield time. He wanted to prime the pump. So here's the interpretation. He was priming the pump, reminding us again, this is what it's like. This is what you do to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's take that 3 minutes into hours and become that house of prayer. All right.